Father, we've been singing words that really describe your incredible love, that relentless love of yours. As we've often shared how you love us too much to let us be stuck in the misery and the sin that we are in, and how your Holy Spirit reaches out. And so as we're singing these songs, Father, we're singing it not just for ourselves and celebrating the reality of how you searched and how you drew us to yourself and what happened when you sent your Son to die in our place, but we're also celebrating the fact that you love the people of our nation, love the people of our towns, our families, our villages, all over on the farms, the people on their deathbed right now that do not know you. You love them, Father. And we trust in your incredible nature and your character and who you are, that even now there will be grace released upon their lives so that they could come and know and come through your Son Jesus and be reconciled to you. And that's our heartbeat, Father, as you're taking us deeper and deeper into the ministry and the message of reconciliation, knowing that it's you in your Son reconciling the world to yourself, not counting our sin against us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your powerful ministry. We can testify how you ministered to us. We can testify how you reached out and revealed Christ Jesus to us. We can testify, Father, of the incredible grace of yours and the gift of this grace and the gift of this faith that we experienced when you came alive to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you. So today, Father, anybody that we may know of, anybody that's on our hearts that are not yet born by you, born of your Spirit, born above, anyone that is still lost, Lord God, and outside of the reality of having intimate relationship with you and knowing you as their Father, today we thank you and we are asking Holy Spirit's ministry to release truth to them. And again, as we continue to say, here we are, Father, we make ourselves available that anybody that you're wanting to minister through our lives, here we are. And we say thank you for the privilege and the joy of being one with you as ambassadors in this ministry and the message of reconciliation. So as we spend time this morning listening to what your Holy Spirit's going to share with us from your heart, we thank you that we'll get understanding. We thank you that you're going to draw us into a far, far deeper reality of your involvement and how you're such an incredible Father to us. And we want to thank you for this. And this is all real because of what your Son Jesus Christ did when he came and gave his life so that we can be reconciled to you. And so Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for the depth of your love. We're going to start getting more and more of a revelation of the reality of what you did on the cross for us, the depth of your love, the width, the height, and the incredible length of this incredible love of yours. So, Father, by your Spirit, enable us to grasp this, enable us to go into the fullness of this for your honor and glory. We want to be able to really live in the reality that it's Christ's love that's compelling us. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to just recap, but it's following on to where we've been over the past few weeks of just understanding more and more of the heart of God for mankind and our calling as children of God involved in the ministry and the message of reconciliation. And one of the things that we are asking the Holy Spirit to really help us is to really know the reality of Christ's love. We're asking that the Holy Spirit will help us to really enter into the depth and the width and the height and the length of his ministry of reconciliation, to understand the fullness of the power of the cross, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection, and for us to be able to know as we go into our days, to know how real and how powerful it is, so that we will have the confidence, we will have a faith that is really alive, to know that nothing's impossible because we know the power of what Christ did in his death and resurrection. And so that's been the prayer that we've been asking the Holy Spirit to really take us there. Hi, Greg. Now, one of the things that I'd like us just to ponder for a moment is in Acts chapter 3. And this is where we see how Peter heals that crippled man that for 40 years has been crippled from birth. And he's at the gate over there, begging, as like every single day, asking for help. And so Peter and John are walking to the temple for prayer time. And we're going to read here where they see this man that's been crippled from birth, who has been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. And it's a wonderful description, the gate called Beautiful, because of what such a revelation of the Father's love over here. And then when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then taking him, so Peter takes an action, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with the wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And then we know how the religious leaders now took offense and they arrested them. And then they have the case over there, and Peter and John are saying it's not by our power, it's not by our might, it's not by our godliness at all, but it's faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the faith that comes through him. So it's God's faith that they got, and they're busy just operating, knowing what Christ did on the cross, knowing the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus. But the question that the Holy Spirit asked me to ponder upon for a while as I was going through this was just what Peter said to this man. He said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you." And that was the question. What do we have? What has our Heavenly Father given to us that we have as children of God that we can give to the world? What do we have? Because sometimes we don't really realize what we really have. And so it's the love of Christ that compels us. And so we are looking at what we have so that more and more we can grow in this love and see the reality. And when we stop for a moment, and, you know, like David in that Psalm 139 that we read earlier on, where David would sit and he would ponder on, "God, I'm so wonderfully made. You've created me all the days. I have the reality that all my days you have skillfully and you have placed them and written them down. I have such security in you." There's so much when we just stop and just ponder a moment. What has God given to us as his children? We have a Father. We have a Father that loves us. That's what we have. We have a family. That's what we have. We have the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. We have the life of the Holy Spirit within us. We have the nature. We've got a nature, God's nature within us. That's what we have. We've got the fruit. We've got the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have that. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've got that. We have been adopted into this incredible family. In Luke 12, verse 10, Jesus says, in the context of everybody fearing and worrying about the tomorrows, he says, don't fear, don't worry about tomorrow. It's been a great joy to give you the kingdom. We have a kingdom. What do we have? You see. And sometimes we are not so aware as we just, or we don't even take the time to stop and just to ponder, what do we have? What has our Father given to us? What has taken place when we got born again by our Heavenly Father? And what has He given to us? He's given us eternal life. He's given us His God quality life forever and ever. He's given us so much. And so when we start to receive and accept what He has already given to us because of Christ being within us, because of being fathered by Him, because we have received the Holy Spirit, something profound starts to take place within us. This is when, you know, when Paul writes over there, as we behold Him, we are transformed more and more into His glory. And when we just sit more and more and we just ponder, Father, what have You given? Because when we are aware and we accept and we get into agreement with what He's given to us, we find now, what I have, I'll give to You. Now we are able to give. Streams of living waters flow from within us. And we find now, because we know, it's not just knowledge now. We're living in the reality, because when we ponder upon something, the Holy Spirit works within us and it becomes real to us. And now it's no longer just knowledge. Now it's a reality, knowing what it is we have received. For instance, the kingdom. We have received peace. We've received joy. We've received security. We've received a future. We've received hope. We've received so much. We've got so much to give to the unsaved. So much to give to people. So much, so much. And so the prayers we're asking the Holy Spirit to take us into the reality of what all has taken place when Jesus, our Savior, when He was crucified and He was buried and He was raised again, what all has the Father given to us? So that when we go to Ephesians 1 verse 3 and we hear these words, in Christ we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. What do we have that we can give to the world? Very important. And this is why when we realize, wow, God, one of the things that we have is that in Your Son, who I used to be, was crucified with Jesus. Who I used to be was buried with Jesus. I'm no longer that old Adam man where sin ruled and reigned and that self-centeredness that was so powerful. I don't have that anymore. I'm a new creation. Now I have this new resurrected life in Christ Jesus to be able to live this incredible life that You've called us to live. This is what I have now. And in that reality, we find there, when we accept that and we get into agreement with what we have in Christ Jesus, His new life in Christ Jesus, we find there that we grow in love. We can operate more and more so that this love of Christ that compels us increases and it becomes more and more real. And as I shared last Sunday, it's something that we cannot produce ourselves, because it's the Holy Spirit. He is love. God has poured His love into heart. And as we just get into agreement with truth, there's a transformation taking place more and more into the glorious reality of who God is, takes place. And we just find here that we just start to love more. We start to have a better understanding of life. We start to see people differently. It's part of the transformation process that God in His grace works within us. What do we have? And this is the most incredible, powerful truth. We have received Christ's righteousness. We have, God has said, now, because you've received My Son's perfection, My Son's holiness, My Son's absolute obedience, My Son's total righteousness, what He did in fulfilling all the requirements of the law, you have received that as a gift. And therefore you have been now called the righteousness of God. And now, what do we have? God says, now my gift, my grace flows through this gift of righteousness. So what do we have? We've got God's grace operating within us because we have received the gift of Christ's righteousness. This is what we have. It's powerful. And the Holy Spirit wants us to become more and more aware and conscious of what our Father has blessed us with in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're not like anybody else. We are different people. We are this new creation in Christ Jesus. We have received a lot. And so we have so much to give to the world. We've got so much to give to people that are suffering and whatever it may be. We've got so much to be able to minister the message and the ministry of reconciliation. We've got so much to share and to help people with. What do we have? And this is a time now as we are becoming very aware of God's call upon us as family of God, the reality that God has placed us in towns and cities, in workplaces, in schools, wherever we may be, because He loves the people over there. And we know what we have, that the Father has already in His Son, He's already done the ministry of reconciliation, and He's not counting their sin against them, but they don't know it. We have the good news that we can share and help people to be able to receive what God has done for them and then appropriate it and experience the reality of all of that. So there's a lot that the Holy Spirit has given to us that is so, so profound and so powerful. We can go on and on and on. So in the context of this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, part of the ministry of reconciliation and part of the message of reconciliation, and as we're growing in understanding what do we have, what can we give, what takes place is that there comes a deep desire within us for all of mankind to be saved. We start to connect to the very heartbeat of our Heavenly Father more and more because no longer is self-ruling, it's self-interest. It's not about me anymore. More and more we start to find, God, this is what You've done, and we keep in step and we find a freedom taking place, wanting, having a desire for all to be saved. Deep down within us all is an incredible desire that Paul writes about. I want to know Him. I want to know Christ Jesus. I want to know the power of His death and His resurrection. I want to know the reality of participating in His suffering. I want to know this. Not that I've obtained all of this yet, but I press on forwards. And deep within us is that deep desire as believers to know Him more and more, to know the reality of His love for all mankind, and to be able to be those ambassadors. Because it's His love now that drives us, it controls us. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul starts to give instructions to Timothy to teach to the family of God, he says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in His proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. And it carries on over there. So here we see that one of the aspects that the Holy Spirit is highlighting in the past couple of weeks for us is the reality of interceding for all people, praying for people. And on Wednesday, we were just breaking it up there because I think all of us, we pray like for the people in our town, we pray for the people in our nation. Sometimes it's helpful to actually take note of people around our environment that is not saved, that we can start praying, put their names down, and start to intercede. What takes place normally then is not so much praying for the, like a faceless kind of a people in the town, but now it's personal. Now you know them. Now you've got their name and now you're interceding. And what takes place is that there's this love of God that develops for that person. And when we're praying for someone, all of a sudden we start to become alert of recognizing God's work in their lives. And it's far more effective because we are very, very alert. We're praying and we know that as we ask God according to His will, it's God's will for all to be saved. So we know what we ask for, we're going to receive. So being alert is my faith expectation of recognizing, Lord, I'm ready, I'm alert, I'm awaiting for to see how you're drawing that person to yourself and that I may be continue to be involved in their lives. So you might want to find this as a good practice here, you know, in the school and all that over there, where you just write down a couple of names, you know, and start to pray. You might be praying for them for about a month or two or three, whatever it may be, and there may be more names that God will give you, then you also pray for those or whatever, how the Holy Spirit leads. But it'll be good to write down people's names that you're interceding for. And you will be amazed. We've often shared, and I think many of you got testimonies when you prayed specifically for people, how maybe a few years later, they come to you and say, man, I've got to tell you, I've found Christ. I've been born again, and I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And we see that taking place. I was blessed that lady that you two are working with, when they stole the cables at the coffee shop, it was a Friday, I went to the police station to go and for the case number. And I saw her there by the Checkers shop right over there. And I didn't know who she was. I just saw her there. And as I'm walking there, I felt the compassion of God. I felt the heart, the love of God for this woman. And I didn't know her. I didn't, you know, she had a hat on and all that. And I just started to intercede as I was walking past, just God, just to help her, just to minister to her, to draw her out of where she is there, that she can know value and love in that there. And then Monday, you guys brought her to the coffee shop. You see, that's a reality of praying the will of God, because He loves people. The love of Christ compels. And you start to see how the Father draws people just like that. And there's many, many testimonies where you feel the drawing, the Holy Spirit drawing your attention to a particular person. And you just start to intercede as well for them. And you start to see God loves people too much to leave them stuck in that misery life that she's living in. Time for her to come out of that. And so you guys are involved in that ministry in the message of reconciliation in her life. And there's many, many testimonies of like your one student over there, where you have a compassion and you felt the love of God for this person that's trapped in depression and all sorts and confusion. And how one encounter there and then comes to us and another encounter, and slowly but surely to quite a few people, suddenly there comes this really breakthrough in their lives because the love of Christ that compels and that. And all of us, we're finding this taking place. Something's happening in our lives as a body of Christ. There's something that's shifted by the Holy Spirit for all of us. There's a desire, there's a revelation, there's a knowing that it's not just about our lives, but this we're keeping in the rhythm of the Father's love for all people, and we're starting to put an action to that. We're starting to appropriate the action to touch lives, to reach out and to minister and to see people being born again, coming into the family, so that what we have, we're giving it to them. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And so we're in an amazing time now, and encouraging us to be able to continue in the momentum of just continuing with Jesus Christ. Behold, and go home and spend time this week and just sit and say, Father, what do I have? What have you given me? What do I have that I can give to others over there? There's amazing truths that the Holy Spirit shares, and we just find there. I think most of you, when I speak about your spirit alive, your spirit, you feel your spirit alive, your spirit burning, your spirit is rejoicing, you understand that language. And you will find there as you spend time more and more, what do we have? And you realize, Holy Spirit, I've got you. I've got your grace. I've got your power. I've got your ability within me. I have it. Let's go and give it to the world. You just find the expansion taking place all the time. And you'll find there that love of Christ. That's when Paul says the love of Christ compels. You'll find there that compelling, that energy, that motive taking place where we're reaching out and touching people's lives. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that really empowers us. And you'll notice there when, in Acts, when these guys are imprisoned and all that there, how they would come, when they were out there, they would come to the church and the church would be praying, Father, give us boldness. Give us boldness that we can continue proclaiming despite the opposition. Give us boldness. Stretch out your hand and perform mighty signs and wonders. Give us the boldness. And this is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is bold. See, he's not timid and shy. The Holy Spirit within us has a heart to see all people saved, because that's the will of the Son and the will of the Father. And as we realize this, as we spend time, what do we have? You start to find here this boldness increases more and more in our lives. So there's a lot. So encourage us all to if you're praying, because see, as Paul writes over here, pray first of all. Pray and requests and intercession, thanksgiving you made for everyone. But if you're praying for like the people at school or the people in the workplace or the people around and you're praying, be alert. We pray for the people of our town, but we are alert and recognize, Lord, we're praying for the people, don't know their names, but we're very alert of who the Holy Spirit is busy working. And when we realize the Holy Spirit is drawing them and there's a connection coming, we can get involved in whatever that involvement looks like at that particular time. But be alert. Faith, remember, we're asking, we believe that what we're asking for, we have received. Be alert when we're asking God to save people, because you're receiving the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing them to Jesus Christ, and you can be involved with that. Many times, we're not praying from a place of faith. We're not praying that God is going to do something in bringing that person to salvation. They've got a free will, yes, we know that. But the Holy Spirit will be on their case, and they will have an encounter with you and another with another Christian and another Christian and another Christian. And as I shared the other day, that most people have to have encounters 7 times with various Christians and groups of Christians and hear the message normally around 7 times before they actually, and then give their life to Jesus Christ. So people will be coming your way and then you will minister to them and someone else will minister to them, and eventually they will be born again. Don't give up. Don't give up. Praying for, particularly if we pray for our own families, sometimes it's easier to pray for the unknown out there. Praying for the families because it's close. There's emotions. There's all that reality. You know the reality of people's lives when you're very close. But God loves. And you're not praying from a self-centered place. You're praying because it's the love of Christ, what the Father has already done. And you saw that little picture of that child in the mother's womb. Sometimes I find if you look at someone that you battle to pray for, ask them for a picture of when they were a baby. And you look at that little picture of the baby and suddenly your heart melts and you're able to pray, not seeing all the junk. You say, wow, Lord, you've got a purpose for this person. And it's a helpful way to get rid of all the other stuff that might cloud your thoughts when you're praying for somebody that you might know that's pretty close. Look at their picture over the baby and you will start to see how things change. Now you understand that Psalm 139 that he's saying. So pray for all people with all kinds of prayers and requests and intercessions. It's abroad there. But carries on with thanksgiving. See, this is the faith reality. We've asked in your name, it's your will, and we thank you that you are working. So thanksgiving is a very, very big part of this. Be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, and he goes now, he says, this is good. Pray for everybody. This is good. And he carries on, and it pleases God. This is the will of God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. So we've got the mandate to intercede for all people. We've got the mandate to ask the Holy Spirit, what have you given to us now that we've been born again? What can we give to the world? And we start to find we now no longer are what I'd often call earthbound people, but now we are rooted in the reality of God's kingdom. He's given us a kingdom. And now when we start to realize what we've been given, now we're able to give, and our life now is rooted in the fact of us being in the kingdom of God, and we start to see tremendous grace operating in our lives. And it gives us purpose, it gives us reason for existence, it makes us alive, because it's not just about our need, it changes everything. So may God's grace continually help us as we grow in this. Oh, Father, we want to thank you this morning as we spend a moment as we have communion and just to reflect what you have given to us. Sometimes we just quote the obvious, are you giving us forgiveness? But in forgiving us, what comes with that? What have you given to us? What have we received through this forgiveness? So Father, we ask as we again just eat together with you and we celebrate your love, we celebrate our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. As we celebrate you, Jesus. And it's mind-blowing and our minds can't comprehend this very well. In that, while we were so, what can we say, enemies of God, and the most evil person living and has lived, and who will live. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for their salvation. And we start to see your generosity. We start to get a glimpse of how you've given all for all of mankind, because it's the Father's will for all to be saved. And Lord, as we start to experience your incredible generosity and how you have given us salvation, how you've given us life, it helps us to be able to live in the reality. From now on, we see no one from a human point of view. Because now we're starting to see what your Son has done in giving his all for all mankind to be saved. So nurture us, Holy Spirit, on the intercession, how to pray. Nurture us on interceding for the lost, interceding for people all around us, helping us. Lord, we don't want to go into a like a program kind of thing, and that they want this to be our lifestyle. They want to be able to be so conscious, so aware of just interceding and becoming aware of the names that you're putting into our hearts and the people that you've brought into our lives. You spoke again and you said something profound through the apostles, that you've placed us in a town, you've placed us in a city, you've placed us where we are at the particular time that we are living in order for people to find you, to discover you. So we know all around us in our communities where we are staying, you've placed the people there, you've placed us there. And we exist because you love. So we know that the people that are involved in our lives, it's your will for them to discover you, to find you. It's not rocket science. This is just your truth. And we thank you that we are no longer living selfish lives, but we're getting into your rhythm of your heartbeat and keeping in step with you to see the world safe, to see the people in our town that you've placed for a time like this. Lord, we don't want to miss the opportunities. We don't want to waste and get to the place where we pass on and yet we were here because you've placed people into our lives for us to minister and to bring to salvation, to help them to find you, to discover you, to share the gospel. So thank you for the opportunities that you're giving to us. Thank you for the awakening that's taking place in our lives. We want to thank you for Holy Spirit, for you not letting us go, but you being relentlessly pursuing us and leading us and speaking into our lives. And for me, it's a great joy to see where words are no longer just words, but there's the impartation there is us entering into the life of these words and walking in the rhythm of these words and experiencing how alive it is and how real it is, and us participating in the very active power of what you have shared with us. And we thank you as this increase is not just for us, but for your family in our towns that we're staying in this nation. So we thank you for a move of your Holy Spirit, Father, and we honor you for that. So Lord Jesus, we celebrate your life here now. Give you the praise and the glory for what you have done for us, who you are, what we have received. Amen. Amen.